It's okay, Lita Zell, I like that song too. We could have done another verse. So good morning, brethren. Well, it's hard to believe. Passover's next month. Time goes by so quickly. Just a little over a month away. And just to reiterate what Brent said, you know, this year for me, pre-Passover has been a little different. Seems like every time I'm opening my computer up and going through the files and reading my emails, I'm reading prayer requests for difficulties with health and prayer requests with loss in this family of ours. And I'm probably not alone when I say that I'm feeling a little soft this year, leading into the Passover, a little softer than maybe some years in the past. If you would, turn with me to Jeremiah 18. What I wanted to do, I think some of you know this is most definitely my favorite chapter in the Bible. I come from a family of potters. I know a little bit about it, the actual pottery aspect. And what I wanted to do, I wanted to take a look at this account today and form a relationship to our Passover preparation. I wanted to form a relationship to our Passover preparation. I'm going to go ahead and read this account. I'm going to look at Jeremiah 18. I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. So if you want to follow along with me. Of course, we know this is in context, there's issues in Judah. They've made terrible decisions. They've turned so far away from God that God comes to Jeremiah and verse 18 begins, it says, "The word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again into a vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as the potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up or to pull down and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from evil, I will relent of the disaster that I have thought to bring upon it. And that instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to build up and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight, so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good which I said I would benefit it. Now therefore speak to the men of Judah, saying, Behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now, every one, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good." Of course, immediately thereafter that account, Judah just totally rejects what's God's plan has been. I'm going to stop just a second before I go back and look at a couple of these verses in this account. You can probably see I've got some props today. As I said, I've got a family full of potters, so I thought I'd bring some props. And the reason why I brought them isn't, they don't really tie into what my message is, but I brought them because I want you to remember the analogy. And in the past, you've heard me speak on this subject, and I've talked more directly on the analogy. But today I'm going to look at some specific circumstances. And so I wanted to show you these pots, and at the end of services today, if you want to hold them and touch them, you're welcome to do that. But I wanted to bring attention to the one all the way on the right. That's a pot that's been shaped, but it hasn't been fired. It hasn't been, no color's been added to it. It hasn't been fired. It hasn't been hardened. And that pot itself, when you hold it, it actually has a kind of softness to it. You can feel the pores when you hold it. It's different than a pot that's been glazed and fired. And also, that pot that's been formed and shaped, if you were to put water in it or oil or some type of a fluid, it wouldn't be long because of the way the surface of the clay is that it would just fall apart and it would come apart. But these other pots here, they've all been glazed, they've been fired. They hold fluids, they hold anything really. They're, you know, in biblical times, the pot was used for many circumstances. In the dwelling, it would hold herbs and oils for cooking. They made larger pots that they would use to store the grains that they brought in, so that they could go out to those pots and bring them into the dwelling and use them to feed the family. These pots have a little significance to me I want to share with you. I'm a little off the subject, but I wanted to just share something because I didn't realize that my son, Dalton, was such an adept potter. I didn't find this out until about the middle of his senior year when he had created some pots that were in a contest, and he won a table at the Governor's Art Show this year, the Ohio State Governor's Art Show, to display his pottery. And when I saw this and when he brought home these examples he'd been keeping at school, I never really had seen any of the pottery that he's been doing for the last couple of years now. He brought them home, and my mom was an outstanding potter along with other generations behind her. And I noticed one of the pots that he made, and if you look over here, the one on the right, Dalton made about midway through his senior year, and that one on the left, my mom made her senior year in 1948. It kind of struck me. There was such a similarity in the way they look. And so he didn't know my mom was a potter, so I ran up. I had some of her examples in a box, and I brought him down. He got such a kick out of it. He took it to school, and he showed it to everybody at his art class, showed it to the teacher. The teacher was so impressed with it. Now, this one over here, this is one that my mom did, this larger one. And these other ones here, these are ones that Dalton did that were accepted and put into the show down at the Governor's Mansion in Ohio State. Okay, enough of that. Bragging on my family a little bit. I think the first thing that we should notice in this account is that God's drawing a comparison between himself and the potter. He wants Jeremiah to recognize that when the potter had the difficulties, when he was forming that pot and bringing it up, he ran into a chunk or an impurity or an air pocket. And when that happens, when you're pulling a pot up and you're designing a pot and you run into something like that, you'll normally just tear the side out of the pot. It catches as it's spinning, and you have to take that clay and you have to start working it down again. You have to get those impurities. You have to crush down the harder pieces of the clay. Or if there's a rock or some type of impurity like that, you have to take it out, get it back into a moldable position, and then bring it back up again. God wants Jeremiah to recognize that there are always going to be penalties for when we choose to sin or when we irrationally deal with a trial. And he wants to convey this to Judah because he wants Judah to know that, yes, you've gone this route, but if you recognize your sin and you turn from it, then once again, I will make you a fruitful nation. I thought it was a beautiful example. You know, God does this throughout the Bible. I so much enjoy when he creates analogies like this. And maybe it's, you know, this particular analogy, I don't even know how many times I've spoken on this chapter of the Bible, 7, 8, 9 times. There's so much information here. I just enjoy it so much. Of course, in verse 12, as I said earlier, it was rejected. If you would, turn with me to Isaiah 29. Back a few books. To Isaiah 29. So what I want to look at here, I'm going to look at a couple of attitudes. And I think this is really important for us right now as we're sifting through our lives, looking for the things that we need to remove, the things that we need to grow, things that we need to do in preparation to leading into the Passover season. Isaiah 29, and I'm going to read verse 15. It says, "Woe to those who seek deep to hide their counsel far from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. They say, 'Who sees us? Who knows us? Surely you have things turned around.'" Now this is the example. It says, "Shall the potter be esteemed as the clay? Or shall the things they say of him who made it, 'He did not make me'? Or shall the things that were formed say of him, 'Who formed it?' He has no understanding." And the scriptures sound like they're pretty complex in what's being said here. But what's happening is there's an attitude being conveyed here. There's an attitude being conveyed by someone who's allowed themselves to separate their relationship to God. this person has an attitude that is removing God from the picture by saying that, you know, I'm a product of my mother and father. You know, he didn't create me. I'm a product of my mother and father. It's an attitude that questions circumstances. It's also an attitude, there's a remnant in these scriptures, if you take them apart, of casting blame, which I think all of us know is wrong. You don't cast blame. It also conveys an essence of not wanting to take ownership, of not wanting to own up to whatever it is that the circumstance that they're dealing with. Okay, now let's flip over a few pages to Isaiah 64. I want to look at a different attitude here. This is another group of people who have been dealing with sin, who've been going through trials, who've made mistakes, who've gone through circumstances, difficult circumstances. And let's read this. Verse 8. It says, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are potter. And all we are the work of your hands." All of us are the work of your hands. "So God, do not be furious, O Lord, nor remember iniquity forever. Indeed, please look. We all are your people." Now you see, here's a totally different attitude, almost 180 degrees away. That first example, it's really simple to draw a comparison between Judah and that first example. They didn't guard their hearts. But here we see an example of brethren who have stayed close to God, who are guarding their hearts, who are recognizing the potential, the positive potential in the mistakes they made by humbling themselves before God. You know, when I read these two examples, it made me think of a few sayings that I've kept with me for some time. One within the last few years, but the others I've had for some time. I want to share them with you before I conclude my message. First one is, circumstance does not make the man. It reveals him to himself. The second one, I'll read it again in case you want to write him down. Circumstance does not make the man. It reveals him to himself. The second one, doubt and fear are enemies to knowledge. Doubt and fear are enemies to knowledge. And my final example of a saying that has meaning, especially for me, I hope it has meaning to you also, it says, "As he thinks, so is he. As he continues to think, so he remains." Now, maybe you're wondering, well, how is that possible for that to be so different? How is that second example, you know, what is the difference? What is the difference with those people? Well, I want to go back to Jeremiah. I want to go to Jeremiah 17 this time. Jeremiah chapter 17. Now, and I think most of us, when we hear Jeremiah 17, it takes us to some of those memory scriptures that we had. There's a specific memory scripture here I think that you all remember and we all know. And that scripture is, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And that scripture, when you read that scripture on its own, it's a hard scripture to hear. I mean, it's really firm and it really has an impact when you hear those words being stated. But this is one of those memory verses that we have to definitely look at the context. The context here is what makes this verse so valid for us, especially now as we're preparing for the Passover. So I'm going to go up to verse 7. Let's look at the context here. It says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes." When I read that, it took me right back to the potter. You know, a pot gets better when it's fired, right? You know, the pot, it has the good looks, and you might use it to put herbs in or put flowers in or something like that. But you put fire to it, and that pot takes on a whole new group of circumstances that it can handle. You can put oils in it and waters in it. You can put it in cold temperatures. You can put it in hot temperatures. So it says, and will not fear when she comes, but its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in the year of doubt, nor will it cease from yielding fruit." You see, the difference between those two is that here's a scripture that's telling us how important it is that we stay close to God, that we guard our hearts, that we keep ourselves in a relationship so that we don't get out on those edge branches. We don't get into a circumstance where we start going away from God. And of course, we know the memory verse. The memory verse is chapter 9, deceitful of all things. Who could definitely know? But the Lord says, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." And in conclusion, brethren, as we're going through this process of rooting sin from our life and recognizing the sins that we have, first off, we have to take ownership of those sins. And when we're faced with trials, we have to take ownership if it's a trial that we brought on ourselves. But there's also those times when we're faced with trials that we have no control of at all, that they hit us hard. They hurt our hearts. They pull on our heartstrings. And it's still important that we follow this method, this theme that we read of in the second example. It's so important that we have control and that we choose a direction that draws us nearer to God and not separate us. You see, we can be affected so drastically by things that happen in our life that we can have tendencies to show the characteristics of both of these incidences. But we can also see the ramifications of those incidences when we choose things that separate us from God instead of those that choose us. You know, just small things can separate us. Small negativities can separate us. And as difficult as it is when we're faced with trials, it's so important that we try to find a direction that draws us closer to God. So, brethren, I hope that in this journey preparing for Passover this year, you focused on the things that are so important to us to grow. We look at the things and the mistakes that we've made in our past that we need to change to make us better and closer to God, so that this year we can have an even stronger Passover than any Passover we've had in the past.